All right, can we just declare the word of God once again? Say, I am filled with the knowledge of his will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. I please him in all respects. I bear fruit in every good work. And I increase in the knowledge of God. Say, I'm strengthened by his might. Therefore, I'm attaining all steadfastness in the name of Jesus Christ. Say it as the word of God is coming forth this evening. I receive insight. I receive counsel. I receive direction. Now listen to this. Say, every trouble in my body is driven away by the entrance of the word of God. Every confusion in my mind is banished away by the entrance of the word of God. Every unrighteousness in me is removed by the light of the word in the name of Jesus Christ. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Quickly, let me just share something I noticed when I was listening to the man of God, Kenneth Hagin, preach. Very interesting when he said it. Now, listen to this. I think I've said it sometime over the last few weeks. You know, before I say that, on Saturdays, I've been trying to explain something about the word of God, all right? Why it's important we expose ourselves to it. And I think it's along the line I shared this testimony I heard from him. Now, he was a man who was anointed specifically. God gave him the gift, all right, to heal the sick. He had a special anointing, what the Bible calls the gifts of healings, okay? It was operating in his life. But he says something which is very interesting. Of course, first of all, he said he passed out for 12 years. In 12 years, he did not bury a church member. He didn't care whether they were young or old. They did not die in 12 years. It was later that his wife kind of remarked it, that you realize we never had to conduct any funeral of any church member in 12 years of pastoring. And said, what that meant, it's not they fell sick, but they had to get well. Okay? Now, just bear that in mind. Now, he said something, which is why I heard recently. I knew that one long ago. I've heard him preach. I was in university. I've been hearing that man preach, and I've heard a lot of the things that he preached. So recently, I was listening to him again, and I heard him say something which I didn't hear all these years. He said that he used to conduct very regularly healing meetings, like healing crusades in the church. And he had a special anointing to minister to the sick. And people used to get healed instantly a lot of times as he's praying for them. All right? A lot. He said, but one thing is striking. Not one member of his church got healed in any of those meetings. Did you hear what I said?
Yes.
Number one, everybody got healed. Nobody died over 12 years that he was a pastor. Number two, in the special meetings that he used to hold to pray for the sick, many people used to get healed dramatically. Many. Many. He said, yet, not one time did any member of the church get healed in any of those meetings. It used to be people they invited. It used to be unbelievers. Number two, he said he can't remember any member of his church being instantly healed when he prayed for the person. No, away from the meetings now. Do you understand my point? So I've demonstrated a lot of things. Number one, there was the power of God to heal. There was. We know that. The man was anointed. We also know that these people, that they did not get healed in a special meeting or get healed dramatically, always got healed. So what used to happen to them? He said they all got healed by teaching. That is, it's not by him praying for them, but as he will be teaching the word of God regularly, and they will be listening to and paying attention to that word, they always got healed. Always. 100% of the times. 100% of the times. What happened? As the word will be entering into them, the word will be doing its work. That people often miss the supernatural while they are looking out for the spectacular. There is a world of difference between that which is spectacular and that which is supernatural. The working of the word of God is always supernatural. but it's not always spectacular. Many times as you are exposing yourself to the word of God, afflictions leave you. It's years later you remember, I used to have this affliction. What happened to it? It got healed as the word of God was coming forth. You know, over the last few weeks, the thing has been strong in my mind to emphasize to Christians. You do not, listen, your life, the word of God is the food you survive on. The word of God is that which tells your system how to behave. That is what directs the direction of your destiny. What comes to people in life, you know, my wife and I were just, you know, she was studying the book of Ecclesiastes, and then she will ask me some questions, we'll discuss some things. Then I will consider some things. After a while, I just said, listen, because Solomon was saying that, he was just analyzing what Solomon said. Solomon would just, he would say something like, in fact, the one that made her really laugh was that Solomon said, what is that foolishness? That wisdom is better than foolishness. If I pointed out to her that at the time Solomon in his experiments, he tried folly. And he quickly left folly alone, that foolishness was foolish. So he couldn't survive being foolish for a long time. So he now said, that, okay, what is the advantage of this wisdom self? Because at the end of the day, the wise man dies, the foolish man dies. So what is the advantage of the wisdom? So she and I were just discussing those things. And at the end of the day, I said, listen, you know, that's why Solomon came at to the end. After reasoning everything, he said, this is the whole duty of man. Fear God, obey his commandments. That is, life does not make meaning outside those two things. Now, there's a reason why I quickly brought that one in. The grace is not to the swift. Solomon noticed that many people who determined to succeed did not succeed. They were determined, they did not succeed. The battle is not to the strong. Many people thought they had everything they needed in life to break through. All they suffered was breakdown. So Solomon said, listen, what do you do? Don't pursue anything that's great. In fact, I like the way David said it. He said, I've quietened my soul like a weaned child in the presence of the mother. He said, I do not, how did he say it again? Anything that's too great for me, I don't get involved in those things. I mean, that's Psalm 131. All right? There are things that are too wonderful for me. I don't get involved. Now, I'm going somewhere with all the things I said. You notice that at the end of the day, Solomon was saying, in effect, don't bother yourself. Relax. For each period of your life, just do that which is pleasing to God. And what your life should be, the Spirit of God will bring it to pass by himself. Now, why did I go into that? Meanwhile, what do we do? Let us just allow the word to enter us all the time, and that word will form us into what we did not even plan for. The word of God, I keep on saying, is not advice. You know, it's good to wake up and do your work. Listen, those things can be derived. Listen, please, don't miss these Saturdays. We're going to start, if I began it last Saturday, I'm going to continue to break those things down. All right? The word of God, out of it, will derive some things on how to discipline ourselves and all of that. But the truth is that the word of God is actually deeper than that. It is. It's not just how to. It's not how to that's inside it. It is, let me walk my walk in you, and you watch, and you will see what I will produce in your life. Let me say this. I say it, and I get into the main thing I want to say today. You cannot. Now, listen, this is not a joke. If I feel so prophetic as I'm about to say it. All the plans you have for your life, now listen to this. All the plans you have for your life, all the ideas you have, all of them, no matter how good and noble they are, because I know you're a good person, you want good. None of them really will take you to where God wants you to get to. Each one is just an exercise in faithfulness. You hear what I said? You're just exercising faithfulness. You're just practicing how to be good and kind. You know, you're practicing how to wake up in the morning and have a business for the day. Where God really wants to take you to, listen to this, it will just happen to you. Mm-hmm. Let me say it again. One day you will look back and realize that you are in a place you did not plan to get to. Now, listen to this, another thing. That place will be better than you ever planned for. That one is a matter of fact. That one is a matter of fact. Many people who are scheming and plotting to become senators and presidents will never become. Oh, counsel yourself, they know who see. This evening, physically present, is at least one senator who does not believe he will ever join politics. Did you hear what I said? Physically present here this evening is at least one senator of the Federal Republic of Nigeria who currently does not believe that he or she will ever join politics. Among those who are still waking up every day and say, why should I be a politician? Because they don't worry. In fact, me too, I don't know why you should be a politician. Don't worry about it. Just don't worry about it. Just take that schooling, that teaching you are doing, do it very well. Just take that law you are practicing, practice it very well. Take that music you are singing, sing it very well. Then one day, while you are singing, I will remove you from the singing place and you become Senate President. And I want to say, oh God, but you never believed in politics. Me said, I still don't believe in it too. I don't know how I got here. You know this book I wrote, should I say yes? Of course, for obvious reasons, it's been one of our fastest selling books because it's on love, marriage, relationship, so the Lord is good. Now, but what I want to tell you about the book, all right? Just to use it as an illustration, what I want to tell you about the book is this. My friend, I mean, many of you saw him a few weeks ago, Pastor Courage, he was around. When he saw the book, should I say yes? He said, now, wow, that anybody that's following men of God should be careful, though. That he was telling me things I couldn't remember I ever said. He said, one of those that used to say that only jobless preachers preach on marriage. I said that. He said, yes, that I told him. Well, I didn't use the word jobless. He's like, why should anybody be talking of marriage and relationship? What kind of thing is that? That when there are serious matters to discuss. I said, I called him Archbishop. I said, Archbishop, I said that. He said, yes, you told me that you have no business. I said, now, wow. Because he's the one saying it, I believed it. But it was something so strange. Now, why did I write the book? I remember people like Bishop, that's our own Bishop, Mike. As we'll be preaching, I'll drop some things. You know, I say, okay, I write this thing down in a book for us now. I say, I don't get time for writing a book of marriage. No. Every time I'm preaching, I'll tell my story, give testimonies, give illustrations, say things that are totally contrary to the popular, beliefs, and opinions. And they say, write these things down now. I don't have time to write. Then one day, I don't know what happened. I just decided to start telling stories. The thing was flowing so much. I wrote that book in a very short time. It took me just a few weeks. So next thing is that everybody's reading, should I say yes? I look back and say, why did you write a book on marriage? I don't know. It just because Bishop and Uncle were worrying me so much that all these things I've been saying, I should write it down so that they can read it. Now, I'm giving an illustration. My friend said years ago, I said that, like, what am I doing? Writing a book on marriage. Not even writing, teaching. I've been invited many times to places. As I was talking to somebody, I said, literally, I'll tell you, what do I look like to you? Do I look like Bimbo Dukoya? I said, no, please. And I will always turn it down till today. Till today we are speaking. If you organize a program, especially for young people, and it's on relationships and marriage, I am not going. Till today that you and I are talking. The only place I've gone to preach on marriage matters, usually maybe a special program for couples, usually it's 1 hour, you speak for 30 minutes, and so we'll just go there and chat. But otherwise, to make it a matter, yet, without planning it, I wrote a book on it. Did you hear what I said? That is how your life is going to be. There are many people here who don't even believe they are called to be business people. And one day, they'll be billionaires doing business. And it will just be like this. I like the story of Mary Kay Ash. This is how it was. She worked for other people most of her life until she reached what was considered the age of retirement. Now, I really don't know at what particular age that happened, but one day she retired from working and decided to write of course, she was a salesperson, all right? She worked for what they call Stanley Home Products, all right, doing sales. And then she rose up in the ranks a bit, and then she retired, and she was not happy with her experiences, many of those experiences over the years that she worked. So what she did was to write how things could have been done better. So she wrote a book on how you could organize a company better than what she experienced over the many years, a few decades of working. So after she finished writing the book, she wanted to publish the book. Then something struck her. Now we know it was the Holy Spirit. Do you understand? I said to her that, who wants to read the book? Who are you? Why should they read a book that you wrote? Nobody knows you. Nobody will read your book because you don't know what you are talking about. In summary, I'm embellishing it now to bring out the point. So she said, all right, let's do something. So she kept the book. I said, let me first go and prove that these theories are actually correct. All right? She was a salesperson. She was not a cosmetics specialist. Her experience and her skill was in salesmanship. You understand? In sales. That was what her experience and her skills, all right, were in. But the issue now was that, what do we sell so as to demonstrate that these theories are actually correct and these are the ways by which businesses should be run? So she thought about it and remembered that there was a particular friend of hers who her father was a tanner. I think was a leather. He used to work with leather. And then the man's hands were actually much younger looking than his face as he was aging. And they decided that it was because of the things that he used to soak his hand in as he worked leather. So the family had formulated the stuff into certain chemicals that you could use on your face and make your face look age less, you know, reverse the aging process, remove wrinkles, and all of that. The family had done that. So she now said, okay, that would be a good thing to use to start. So she went, approached one of the children of the man, all right, and then they sold her the rights. I said, okay, good, we will start business from here. She wasn't trying to sell cosmetics. She was trying to prove that the way by which she did business worked. Do you understand my point? And then God breathed on that, and she became a successful business person. Mike Murdock was quoted to have valued her personal wealth at the time to be over $2 billion. And God began to expand her, so that that book was finally published, of course, edited, changed here and there, and you can get the book and read the titles, Miracles Happen. That's the title of the book, Miracles Happen. One chapter I've quoted from many times was the one titled, You Can't Outgive God. That was one in which she realized that it was God that blessed her, because one day she went to church and pledged to double the amount of money that they will pledge, you understand, that people will give towards building the children's wing of their church. In previous times, they probably raised $5,000 on a very good day, $2,000. So that day, she did a very good job. She thought the money would be up to $10,000. All right? The money she had promised to double came to be $106,000. She was totally surprised. Except that while she was sitting down, still thinking of how do I quickly get this money paid, she had to go to the bank to borrow it. The phone rang again. This time, it was her son, who said that her investment into a particular way of drilling for oil some time before that had just started yielding. And they just told her that same hour that her profit monthly was going to be over $100,000. So she wrote a book, a chapter titled, You Can't Outgive God. She said the day she was going to take her money to church, it was not a matter of, yes, I'm a giver. She said, no, I was trembling that this God is too great. That I'm not giving to him. Actually, I've been receiving from him all this while. That I'm not the giver. I'm actually the receiver here. Now, all those things happened. She did not plan them, actually. That's what I'm telling the story. At the end of the day, she built a very successful, cosmetics company. And that's what we know her for. A lot of other financial blessings that God gave her, many people don't know about it. That is why I just told that story. I just brought out that story so as to show you that the woman prospered beyond what we could see. Did she plan it? No. So that's what I'm telling you. The plans you have for your life now, enjoy it. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
What did I say?
Enjoy it.
So now all the plans you have, don't throw it away. Don't make the mistake. Don't go home and answer that. Hey. As the bank said, this, you know you're not going to go anywhere anyway, so Let me just wake up in the morning and be strolling around the neighborhood. No, that is not the plan. It is occupy with this until I come. And that's what I'm saying. This you are occupied with is not his coming. But be occupied. That's why a lot of people don't understand. They say, what kind of career have you chosen? Don't worry. You are not going to choose career for God. God will choose career for you. What you have right now is the present occupation. What did I call it? That is what it is. It is the present occupation. When I say occupation, I don't mean job. Now I mean the things that's occupying you. That's my emphasis there. It is the thing that is currently occupying you. It's not your destiny. It is the thing that is currently occupying you, not your destiny. So you can't plot your life and what you will become tomorrow by what you are doing today. That's why I tell you, just enjoy today. This one you are doing today, just enjoy it. Just be like me. You know, there's one thing I do a lot these days. I mean, like, of course, you know, I preach every time. Every time I finish preaching, I always feel very happy. I always feel very happy. In fact, like, especially on Saturday nights, I don't do any of that thing. I just go home and eat and watch TV or watch something on my computer and just relax. I tell my wife that, you see, I always feel I have worked. When I finish preaching, I always feel very satisfied. I just relax. Say, yes, this life is sweet, my God. You understand my point? Now, let me ask you a question. Do I get paid every time I preach here? No. Most of the times I preach, I don't get given anything. But it makes me very happy. The man I was quoting earlier, Kenneth Hagin, there's something he says all the time, which is very interesting. When he finishes preaching, a lot of times he'll say, well, I don't know whether I helped you or not, but I have sure preached myself happy. You finish preaching, he said, look, I don't know whether I helped you or not, but I definitely preached myself until I became happy. And for me, that's how my life is. So currently, I enjoy preaching. I enjoy preaching. What's my life going to be like in 20 years' time? I don't know. But what is it like today? That one I know. I enjoy preaching. I like the way I've seen your faces. You came here to come and listen to me preach. I feel good. When I see you, I'm happy. You don't know. Every time I see you, I'm very happy. Why? Because you've showed me that it's good I was born. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, it's good I was born. Yes, it's good I live in Nigeria. You've shown that to me. Anytime you leave everything you have to do to get down here by 5 o'clock, either on Saturday or on Tuesday, or you log on to our website and you are listening to the message, what you are proving to me is simple. Say, yeah, Banky, it's good. What you are doing is good. What you are doing is good. God is using you to do something. You are like a pipe. You are carrying something from the presence of God. That's what you are proving to me. That's why I like to see you. The Lord is good. And I like people like you. Why? You look very serious. What am I saying? I'm not emphasizing the fact that I'm enjoying myself. That's what I'm saying in all of these things. I'm feeling very happy. Will tomorrow come and then Kingdom World Ministries will be paying me 10 billion naira every year? Who cares? Very unlikely. Anyway, ministries really don't do things like that. Do you understand? So that's not the plan. The plan is occupy with this until tomorrow comes. Occupy with this. Someone said there's no job. That fellow is a lie. There is something to be occupied with all the time. There is always something to be occupied with. There is always something to be occupied with. Look for something that you do at the end of the day. You are happy. Not because of money. Money shouldn't be making you happy. It's just an added thing. Money is one of those things that are added. You should look for something that makes you, that is, you do it every day. And you are happy that I have done something. Any day I preach or I finish writing a sermon, it's really a day that to me is very fulfilling. Oh, that is, I find it so fulfilling. What will my tomorrow be? Really, you know, I don't know. Now, that's what I'm trying to preach. I really don't know. The way I'm doing ministry currently is not targeted towards any end. No, really, I know what I'm trying to say. The only end The only end I think about, and God is my witness, I'm not lying about that. The only end I think about is that one day I will see you on the road and you will have prospered so much, and inside my stomach I'll know, yes, I preached that man out of poverty. Are you getting my point? Yes. That is the only... No, God is my witness. I'm not lying about it. You know, people talk about will. What will happen after this ministry? The only thing I've ever thought about, it has it's happened before. You know, you think, I say, ah, God forbid. I think that the Lord just came one day and said, thank you. Well, you've tried on this earth. I want to take you so, to another planet. That one instruction I will give my wife is that make sure all these messages that we have carefully cataloged, carefully, you know, arranged, carefully archived, make sure they are always available. Disseminate them far and wide. You know, there's a man, I read his materials, and I quote from him once in a while, Oswald Chambers. You know, it's not, you know, this life, eh? Tell your neighbor, just love God. And tell the person, and enjoy yourself. That's all. Because many of the things that you think are insignificant in life today, if you know what God will do with them, you'll be surprised. Oswald Chambers, that I quote a lot, I have the complete collection of all his works. He was a teacher. He died at the age of 43. He didn't live very long. Yet, I don't know whether the book is here or I have it at home, but I have it on my computer, the whole collection, because one day I saw it for just $25. I was surprised. A fat book like this, fat. All the works of Oswald Chambers. Fat book. You buy it, it comes with a CD. The CD contains everything in a searchable form. You know, they call it Libronix, the software that runs on Windows. I bought it some years ago. In fact, one of my friends, Chooks, went to the US. It's one of those first things that he did for me. I just saw it. I called Chooks, help me buy this thing. $25, he paid for it. This very fat material, what is the thing about it? The thing about it is that the man wrote only one book titled Christian Disciplines. Trust me, you don't want to read the book. I can't read it. That is the only book he wrote. A small book. I think we have a copy in there titled Christian Disciplines. And it's actually two volumes, all right? So they are very small, combined into one. That's in one book, Christian Disciplines. Why did I say you don't want to read it? I'll tell you. Because it's like reading Shakespeare. He lived around the time of the, I think, before the, he was a well-educated, you know, Englishman that wrote with real Elizabethan English. So the only book he wrote by himself is the one most people can't read. The poetry is fantastic. You know, the English is so good for its time that modern man can't read it. Yet he has a fat book that a whole publishing company was set up just for his books. Why am I telling the story? Of course, before they compile into one large volume, all right, the books are over 30. How did the books come to be? It is simple. Because he married a woman. And that woman had only one child for him. A girl. Now listen to what happened to that woman. The woman, her dream in life was to work for the British Prime Minister. That was her dream in life. And those days, dictaphones did not exist. You know, all this one just record things. Now everything we are saying, I just go into one tiny digital recorder and it's picking my voice crystal clear. Those things did not exist. The only way to take things down was somebody had to write them down in shorthand. They called them stenographers. So this woman trained herself to be a very good stenographer. Her aim, I will be so good, I will be able to work in the highest places in our nation. And she never got the job, but she married Oswald Chambers. And she took down everything he said. Did you hear that? Everything that dropped from his mouth in her presence, she wrote down. Apart from that book, Christian Disciplines, every other book you see the name Oswald Chambers on was notes that his wife took down while he preached. He died at the age of 43 in Egypt. All right? Yet, in the few years he was married to this woman, she wrote down so much, decades later, they were still publishing things that had not been published before. In that book, the complete collection I have, there are times you read to a particular point, you'll put a note there that this portion of the notes is missing. Because it's just the notes she took. Yet, read his materials. Deep Christianity. The man taught me about the will of God the way nobody else ever explained it to me. He's the only person I ever saw attack the book of Ecclesiastes and make sense out of it. He titled the book Shade of His Hand. But later on, I found out he never wrote any book called Shade of His Hand. He just preached sermons on Ecclesiastes, and his wife took all the notes down. The woman was so brilliant in shorthand. Everything her husband preached, she wrote down. You don't know her. Most of you never heard of her until I started talking about her. You don't even know she existed. But you go around, hundreds of thousands and possibly millions of copies of those books had circulated all over this world. The only reason why they exist is because one woman trained herself to become very good as a stenographer. And God took that ability and used it to immortalize the writings of Oswald Chambers. And then, of course, she was not into publishing. They had one daughter. The daughter grew up, and the two of them now started a publishing house to publish the materials. Are they the richest men in the world? Nobody knows. I mean, what I mean, physically speaking, they are not. But I'll tell you the truth. That woman is affecting the Church of God more than many people that claim they are very rich on this earth. She's not alive anymore. Do you understand? But her works live forever. So that's why I said, my wife and I looked at it that yesterday, or the day before, you're studying the book of Ecclesiastes. I said, sweetheart, at the end of the day, you know what Solomon said? He said, fear God, obey his commandments. That's the whole duty of man. Everything that your life will be, let God work it out by himself. That's why I said what I said earlier. As a child of God, go ahead, be planning all the planning you want to plan. Be arranging all the arrangement you want to arrange in righteousness. But listen, that's doing only two things for you. One, keeping you busy today and making you happy. That is all. It's only keeping you busy for the day and making you happy. That is all it is doing. It is not guaranteeing your destiny. It is not a way by which you know that you are going to be rich tomorrow. All it is doing for you is keeping you busy and making you happy. That's all. You are kept busy so that you won't become, your hand won't start doing bad things. You know what they said? You know, before Satan starts finding, you know, work for the idle hand. So that one you are doing today, that's what it is. That's why Jesus said, look, having food and raiment, who was saying now? Not Jesus, I think it was either Paul or Peter, you know? He said, with that, let us be content. Why was he saying that? It's simple. Where will we be tomorrow? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. God, we arrange. Look, listen. God is not sleeping, no? He knows you by name, and that's not a joke. He knows you by name. The main problem God has with people, listen to this, is unfaithfulness. Do you hear what I said? The main problem he has with people is what? They can't be depended on. They are not faithful. And the little you have for them, you give them to do. They are so eager. They are looking for the big thing that they are going to do. They are so busy looking for the big thing. They are unfaithful in the small thing. And when the Lord comes, he looks at how well they did the small thing. He told the servants, because you were faithful in a very little thing, be in authority over much. Because you were faithful in a very little thing, he said, be in charge over plenty. Well, many people say that, listen, this small thing is a waste of time. Let us go and get something big so that we can affect this earth for God. You can imagine that woman, instead of marrying Oswald Chambers, she decided that what I'm going to do is I'm going to be a missionary in China, and I'm going to transform the whole of China. She goes to China, they imprison her there, and they will be say, okay, what do you call it? Prisoner for Christ. Oh. Or let's even forget the prisoner side. Say, listen, I'm going to go into business. I'm going to make money. And with that money, we're going to preach this gospel over the world. Let's use today's terms. Maybe she actually was able to make up to $50 million. And then she gives to gospel, gives to charity, buys many men of God cars, you know, pays for airtime on television for many preachers. And everybody say, wow, that was a life well lived. And one angel is looking. Who saw the plan of God? And he said, how did she do? He said, that woman, she was a failure. He said, what? Don't you watch television? Don't you angels see TV in heaven? Did you not see that she was the one paying for all those broadcasts? He said, well, she tried. They said, but then the broadcast ended some years ago. They have forgotten the stations. In fact, many of the stations have gone down. Many of the things she preached, we can't remember. Or that the priest that she sponsored. And the angel calls you and says, come, let me show you what her life will have been. He won't show you the woman, no. He'll show you one bank in Enugu reading a book. See one Kofi in Ghana reading a book. Show you one Mongosutu Betelezi in South Africa reading a book. You go to America, you show a group of people studying from a book. And you see, and I say, but she was not a preacher. I say, no. Can you see all these millions? I say, wait, now you won't see television. You will see television today. That is, the angel will carry you all over the place, showing you millions and millions of books. Then he will tune modern TV and say, you watch this TV. See, everything that man is preaching is what he read from that book. Did you see the multitudes being blessed by what he's preaching? Say, yes. He read it from a particular book or a set of books that he meditated upon for a whole year. That was how the Holy Spirit breathed upon him and he had this revelation. So what has that got to do with this woman? He said, oh, wait, follow me. You go to Bible school, this particular course is titled Gems from Genesis. They are studying the materials that somebody decoded, things that he got from the book of Genesis. He said, let me take you to a psychology school. There's a particular course called Christian Psychology. Actually, there's a book he wrote, well, one of his books titled Christian Psychology. Let me take you to university in philosophy. There's a particular course called Christian Philosophy. This is the book they are using. There's a book also which he has called Christian Philosophy. So have you seen all of that? So do you know how come that is possible? Or that would have been possible? If only she had married this man and had no ambition. You are valuing the $50 million she was able to give out for ministry. I'm telling you things we don't know how to put a monetary value on. That yes, some people will have told you that don't mind her. She only lives in the shadow of her husband. He said, but her works, the day they get to heaven, he said, Oswald Chambers, come forward. Tell the agent, all right, give him a check, $5,000, heavenly currency. It's good. He tried. Say he preached, yeah, he preached powerfully. Yeah, he preached, he tried. All right, what's the woman's name now? But let's, Mrs. Chambers, Mrs. Chambers, come forward, comes. All the angels will just bow. Babake. Somebody will say, no, she was not the preacher. Look at the preacher. Say, shut up. Babake. Or like my friend will say, Mamaki. Hey. What is going on? He said, that is the reason why people could read all those books. Paul planted, Apollos watered. God gave the increase. He said, God is now rewarding each person according to his labor. The increase is God's. But this woman was faithful. There was no word this man spoke she did not put down. Half of the words I gave this man, he never said. Do you understand my point? Because that's why I gave him a check for $5,000 heavenly dollars. Because half of the things I told him, he did not say them. But this woman, everything that he said, she wrote down. 50 years later, 60 years later, 70 years later, almost a hundred, of course you know, Jesus tarrying, 200 years later, people will still be reading those books. Why? Because she bothered to marry him and write down what he was saying.